Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Tuesday morning.
Jesus.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Wow, you're loud.
I know. Why am I so loud?
I don't know.
Why don't you turn your headset down a little bit there?
There we go.
There you go, Barky.
Hey.
It's Hardy in for Beetle today. Just today. Beetle will be back tomorrow, but he's got a little one-off here to contend with.
Oh, it smells again today. It's so bad.
It
smells like, I think we're doing a show from a dumpster. That's what it smells like. You know when you empty the dumpster and all that other gook is still like encrusted on the sides or the bottom?
Well, it's not the outdoor fertilizer thing today. You came in here then with all of your, because you had TV this morning, right?
TV this morning, this afternoon, tonight.
This morning. So you come in here with all your cosmetic products, the hairspray, which I didn't even know they still sold. I didn't know, and I didn't know that men use them, but that's a good,
you should try some.
Yeah, good for you. And then you sprayed the cologne, and it went from smelling just a little bit off, a little musty, a little rainy musty, to like a male prostitute.
Right. You know what, I don't know if you would ever have this, but like when you would go to your in-laws for, like, say, celebrations or dinners or holidays, and maybe the in-laws only has one bathroom, and at some point, Uncle Harry or Grandma or Grandpa's got to go to the bathroom, and there's not really a fan, but there is like a bottle of high karate in there, and it's just, you're going to go, and you're going to compound the problem with the of a musk cologne, and permeates the entire house.
Well, we're going to try and work past that. We're going to talk a lot of Patriots here today. We also have...
Yeah, because we're not on smell-o-vision. We are on television.
No, we have Billy Jaffe joining us at 10:50. Talk a little Bruins. See if we get a Tuukka Rask update here this morning. The reports were that he was meeting with Bruce Cassidy yesterday and that he was going to be back at practice today. So we'll know from, obviously, we are at Gillette Stadium today, so we are not at, you know, Warrior. We're not going to be able to tell what's going on with him being out on the ice. But the reports were, after the win on Sunday, that you know, Cassidy expected Tuukka to be back at practice here this morning.
Remember Felger and Maz last week with the whole Butler stuff? Like, we know, but we're not going to say it because we can't say it.
Yeah.
I kind of know, but I can't say it. But Rask?
You do?
I hope it's not the case, but yeah, whatever. There's some stuff going around.
But you can't say it.
Oh, no.
I can't tell if you're serious or joking.
I don't. You've got
no
your
crossies,
hand in the air. I don't know what
no
that
crossies,
means.
No crossies, no timesies. I've heard from a couple sources.
I think he's serious.
I've heard from three different sources, and all with the same story, which is shocking.
But, Jim, this would have been a useful conversation to have off the air before we began the show today, don't you think?
No, because he's not going to say it, so it doesn't
I'm
matter.
Never going to say that. I would never. I wouldn't even want to talk about it after it would come out if it's true.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, maybe it would have been helpful to talk about
that. If you've heard the same thing I've heard, that doesn't make any sense on a variety of reasons.
So it doesn't make any sense.
All right, listen, we'll find out what's going on with Tuukka, if he's back at practice today, and we'll get whatever Billy Jaffe has, we'll turn him upside down and shake it out of him coming up at 10:50. But we're going to begin with the Patriots here this morning, who suffered, would you say, played their worst game and suffered their worst loss of the season on Sunday, though?
Yeah.
That was worse than Detroit.
Yeah, you could sit here and cut it up and say, okay, we looked at the tape. You already heard Brady comment on it. We got our best football in front of us. The rest of the season's there. Yeah, that's true and all. But at some point, you still got to recognize, okay, here are issues. Here are the issues that are there. You need to get some guys healthy, man. I think this bye could come at a better time. not only for us. I mean, we're going to enjoy the weekend, finally get away from football a little bit, but they need to get away from football a little bit. They do. I mean, it's been, I know Slater talked about it, 13 straight weeks, and it's this and that. And yeah, you got to deal with it, man. You got to deal with it because they're supposed to be playing their best football at this point. Thanksgiving is next week, and that's where you got to be hitting full stride, and they're not anywhere near to hitting full stride yet.
So they play a bad game. They take a bad loss. And this morning, Chris Gasper is writing about whether or not the Patriots' mystique, which, first of all, you have to accept that it is a thing.
Well, what's the mystique? It's Belichick and Brady, right?
Well, when we say the mystique, we mean here's a team with all these Super Bowls that, you know, they go to every AFC championship for the last 7 years. They've been to seven Super Bowls now. They've won five of them just with this coach and this quarterback. And that alone, seeing that team come in, you know, the helmet factor, it's like seeing those, as much as I hate to say it, those Wolverine helmets come out of the tunnel there in the big house. You know, that's worth 3 points
When Big Brother comes to town.
You know, that's...
Yeah, we were going to Nashville thinking Big Brother's in Nashville.
Right?
And you want to be little Patriot Brother, little Patriot South, right?
But that's that's worth a few points right there. And that's how, you know, Gasper kind of began his
little brother
will
hit you right in the mouth and knock you out. I mean, that's what happened.
So the first thing you have to do is decide whether or not that is a thing. And then whether or not that mystique took a bit of a hit, not only against the Titans, but against the Jaguars and against the Lions. And every week there's another question about Rob Gronkowski or a question about whether or not, you know, Brady has lost his step. Number one, so do you believe that the mystique is a thing and it's worth anything competitive, like a real competitive advantage on game day? And number two, do you believe it's taken a hit?
Everything, no matter what you do in life, eventually wears off. It wears off. There's nothing you can do about it. There's transition times. I don't think the team's in transition. I think it's the NFL, and you got a different team this year than you had last year. I mean, there's Deion Lewis saying, I know those guys. I played with them. You punch them in the mouth, they tuck tail and run. Really? You've been on two AFC championship teams the last 2 years where you're down 25 in a Super Bowl, and you fight and you scratch and you claw, and you throw for 505 against the Eagles. You go up in that game. Your defense ends up giving up. Really? Did you tuck tail? So, I mean, I don't believe that. I think they're dealing with injuries right now to where they're not full strength, because I still think there's the mystique there, because you see the 35-point games, the 38-point games, when they're really not playing their best. Brady would come to the podium and say, we left a lot of plays out there. We left points. I came away from those wins, those wins where they were scoring 35, 38 in their sleep, but it felt like, boy, they're not putting teams away. They're not hitting stride yet. Well, what's hitting stride? 45, 50? They're not Kansas City. We know that. They don't have the deceptive speed that Kansas City has.
No.
But I think what you're starting to see is they believe that they need all that other stuff, the fake, the twist, you know, the reverse fake, the slips. I mean, they ran three different misdirections until they could try and slip James White on a little screen pass to the right, which is, why don't you just drop back and throw the screen? What do you need all this
misdirection? That's what we're used to seeing. It's like, and that's what the Patriots got knocked for, right? Especially in the early years. It's like, oh, it's so boring.
But
it's so predictable.
Yeah.
Okay, then go stop it.
But
if it's so boring and so predictable, stop that little screen pass and stop the 7-yard gain.
But that's why you have Josh McDaniels here. You have him here to do all the little different things, because, damn it, you might need it this year.
Okay.
You know?
But back to my original question. Do you believe the mystique is a real thing and that it's worth it, that it does serve as a competitive advantage on game days?
Yeah.
Okay, so do I.
I think the quarterback even talked about it in the postgame. We played it yesterday where he said, we just can't go out and think we're going to win games by just showing up. That's mystique. That's
right.
What that is.
Right. And
we're the Patriots. We're Tom Brady. We're Bill Belichick. Well, we're Julian Edelman. We're going to show up. Dante Hightower, we're going to kick your ass.
See, but to me, that's not the definition of mystique. Mystique is the other team looks at you and immediately has doubts.
Yeah.
Well, I have doubts about being able to beat this team. I know I've got talent, and I've got some good guys around
me.
And I kind of like our coach. But the fact is, we've never been to a Super Bowl. We haven't been to one conference championship, much less seven in a row. I don't have five rings like this quarterback does. So that automatically takes a knock at your confidence, and it costs you something on game day.
Right.
At what point does that take a real hit? What does it take? The Lions game? Look, that was rare. Back-to-back losses, you know, against a team that you really should beat. I think the mystique was definitely a factor in the Kansas City game, where you have Pat Mahomes out there doing pretty much you know, Pat Mahomes things until just a couple of hiccups here and there. And down the stretch, you saw the team, you saw the coaching, you saw the team, you saw enough things from that Chiefs team that made them think, oh, crap, we're playing the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. Fast forward to this past weekend where you've got Mike Vrabel on the sidelines, not intimidated by the Patriots' mystique. Deion Lewis, not intimidated by the Patriots' mystique. You've got Logan Ryan, you've got Malcolm Butler, all these guys who were a part of it and felt a part of it.
Yeah.
So is it a question of just going up against the guys who weren't affected by it, or has it taken a hit?
Well, you're motivated. I mean, all those guys you name were here, and when you're here, you have a certain part in that mystique, and you're bigger than life. You're bigger than life as a player. You got to have confidence as a player. You got to have swagger. So I don't have any problem with those guys looking at it and saying, well, we beat them. We were there. We know what we're doing because it worked here for them. So why wouldn't you go elsewhere and try and apply what you do? Here's where the mystique wears off. Mystique wears off if in 2 weeks you're home against or 3 weeks you're home against the Vikings. And you've got Gronkowski back.
Yep.
You've got Shaq Mason back. You've got Rex Burkhead all of a sudden active. And you have your full allotment of everybody to accompany with Julian Edelman rested, with James White rested, with all these guys rested. And the Vikings come in here and kick your ass. That's where the mystique is gone. You go and you thump the Jets. You take care of business next week. Just get through that game. Then you get ready for the Vikings. You beat the Vikings, you're off and rolling. And you beat them soundly at home. That's a good football team. I think you're off and rolling. That's where the mystique, then the mystique starts to roll. Because you know what? You're going to go down to Miami. I think that Miami game, that's a bitch of a spot. Because of the heat, it's 1 o'clock, and it's a freak show down there. It is a freak show. You're playing a game in a nightclub. And you got to deal with it. But if you get past that, and say you rip off 3 in a row, what do you think Pittsburgh's going to think? Oh, Jesus. Remember last year? Here they come again. And if we don't beat them, we're not who we thought we were. And that game's going to mean everything. You have it in front of you. Play well 3 weeks, and we're going to Pittsburgh to see what the hell we are. There's your mystique right there in front of you. Your mystique is the next 4 weeks, man.
This year, mystique is the scoreboard. Because in the 3 games they've lost, the other team has scored first and kept the lead the entire game.
Beatle laughed at me yesterday. Beatle said at the start of the show, he said, what was the problem? What's the number one problem for that game yesterday? And I said special teams. He's, no, more. Really? 58-yard freaking return to start that game. Now all of a sudden, that team's like, let's throw the ball deep on first down. Let's run a 21, 24-yard in cut. You think they're running that backed up a 15-yard line with that quarterback? Hell no. It changes everything.
Bottom line.
It changes the way you call games.
They fall behind, they lose.
Yeah.
They can't come from behind.
Brady talked about it. We got to play in front. Got to play in front.
That's but he scary. Also said you That's can't. That's pretty scary if but they have to play in front.
He immediately admitted that you can't rely on that. You can't jump out to a 2-touchdown lead in every game. It's the National Football League. That's not going to happen every week. So they got to figure out ways to be able to play from behind and play from one score, maybe even 2 scores down. And we've seen it before. You know, Zoe talked about earlier, it's not a team in transition. To me, transition is you got a new coach and or a new quarterback.
They got something same. Here and there. This is not a team in transition where you totally wiped out a defense or an offense.
He's got his two best targets still on the team.
Same defense as last year.
Yeah, and even if Gronkowski isn't playing, no, it's not a team in transition, not yet. Is the skill set transitioning? Has the mindset of a couple of players transitioned? Maybe, but personnel-wise, still the same from the coach to the quarterback to the receivers.
What did I tell you? All last week when I talked to Vrabel at that damn Barstool party 2 years ago when he was with Houston, we know how to get to Brady in the middle. And they got to Brady in the middle. The all-pro guard was out, and they attacked the middle. That's ball game, man.
Okay, we have two open lines at 617-779-0985. So your call's next.
And UFOs later in the show.
UFOs, Billy Jaffe, mixing some sharks for Zoe.
No, I'm not. Sharks off the radar.
Well, no, Francesa mentioned sharks earlier, so I think we should bring it up. Yes, we should.
We're going to talk sharks today.
Yeah, all of that live here from Gillette Stadium. I'm Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
I just had to, you know, just let our team know that these guys are beatable. You just got to take it to them, be physical, and we'll wear them out.
Did you feel confident in the plan that you guys assembled coming into this one? Because it certainly looked like you played that way.
Yeah, very confident. Everybody's confident. Like I told these guys, I played there, so I know those guys. And I know that if you be physical with them and let them have it, they'll fold.
It's on Sunday in Nashville. It's Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatle. Taking your calls at 617-779-0985. Is it a question of mystique? Is it a question of health? Is it a question of age? I mean, what's going on with the Patriots? Is there something that we are witnessing right now? So let's go to the phones here. We'll start with Cam in Taunton. Cam. This is a new song. This sounds like the end of an 80s movie. The credits are rolling.
You ever get any of his albums?
It sounds like the end.
La, 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 la. It's almost like a Yanni. Like, Yanni at the Acropolis is one of my favorite VHS videos that I still have.
Yeah.
It's a keyboardy Yanni type intro.
Yeah, I would say end of the 80s movie. Not a Brat Pack movie.
Put it back up.
I can't. It's
cool. Oh. Why'd you get rid of it?
Well, because we have other calls on the line. I want to be able to get to those too. Guys. All right, let's go to Adam and Lowell. Adam, you're on with Zolan Beetle, but Beetle's not here. Okay.
Hey, guys, how are we doing? I love Deion Lewis. I wish we still had him. I was hoping we could have re-signed it by using, like, money that's not being used on, like, Dwayne Allen or Patrick Chung or, you know, other ways from the roster. But to be honest with you, I get that he's pissed that we didn't re-sign it, but... Dude, you weren't a Pro Bowler before you came to the Pats. We dug up your dead, cold career and breathed life into it. Don't act like you were slighted in some way. Like,
he was
seriously,
the cheap guy. He was the cheap valued guy that he's talking about. Like, you want to go cheap? Like, yeah, they do that. They're not going to pay running backs
great,
like that.
You're
not going to pay
James White. Don't pretend like he had a career before he came to the Patriots.
But Mike Lombardi found him on a scrap heap out of Cleveland. They thought he wouldn't play again because of his knee. They gave him a chance. Then he hurt his knee here and sat another year, and they paid him.
The question is,
and he came back and ran his ass off last year for you.
Well,
yeah.
I heard Jones and Arcan arguing about this last night.
Killed Deion. Deion was good here.
Whether or not Deion would have caught on somewhere else and proven himself to be the commodity that he is, and then gone on to Tennessee, you know, or another team, and continued to have a career, or did it take being in New England and somehow, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I mean that there's two schools of thought on this, right?
Yeah.
Deion Lewis gets injured in Cleveland. You know, he was a fifth round pick, whatever he was. He's gone now. 19th running back selected in that draft.
Tell you what, pick and recruit running backs, man.
Okay, but you know, he's pretty much a bust, right? In terms of injury, and it wasn't all that highly thought of in the first place. Until he gets to New England.
Yeah, wasn't a big
and
guy.
And Belichick, diminutive. McDaniels, you see something in him, and they start giving them in the ball, and then he proves himself here like they did with, you know, you name it. Whether the narrative holds true or not, Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and all these.
Who? Danny Amendola. See, I would say that they miss a guy like Danny Amendola more than they miss Deion Lewis.
Okay, but is Deion Lewis one of these guys? And I'm not even willing to admit that these guys are actually a thing because there's no way to prove it wrong or right. It's just what your gut tells you. Is he a guy that only is what he is because the Patriots also took a chance on him and made him into the player that he is now?
Yeah. I mean,
you think so?
I mean, part of it, but I think too. I mean, you're in part of an identity crisis too. So you move past Deion Lewis, you say, okay, James White's our money guy. You went out, you drafted a rookie. And Sony Michel, and he was going to, I don't want to say be your bell cow, but bell cow are first down, second down backs. And it's trending in the right direction for him. Then he's finally active last week. It seems like he didn't even play. You come out chucking it all over the lot. First thing you do is chuck it out in the flat to Deion, to James White. He gets absolutely blown up. What, you think Vrabel's going to get fooled by James White? James White, your first half MVP. They knew you were going to get the ball to White. They're ready for it.
Well,
no answer.
I would say with James White, you know, as the Patriots tend to identify the one guy that could beat you and not let that guy beat you, if you're the Titans, you're game planning for the Patriots. Tom Brady, that's kind of a given, but who's the one guy? Who's the one guy we can't let beat us in this game?
James White and Edelman.
James, well, that's two.
Edelman's two, but James Edelman is a distant two now.
Edelman got his 9 catches on his 12 targets. I mean, he got 9 catches for 104 yards.
See,
Edelman did his part.
And Brady's trying to get him going, too. I mean, he had that one ball where it hit him right in the face mask. And the fourth down
that
play.
That was strange.
Edelman, you go back and look at the play, and everybody's like, oh, Hogan was open, or James White's open on a wheel route. Edelman runs the in-cut from left to right.
Yeah.
As he's coming across the field, he fades up into the safety, which allows the angle to, instead of coming back down.
It's like he went after the safety.
He made the break and then drifted upfield right into the hit.
Yeah.
He comes back down. Brady sticks it on. Boom, he goes down. First down. It was a weird route.
It was. Let's go to L in Boston. L, you're on with Zoe and Hardy and Forbito. What's up, L?
Good morning, Zola.
Morning.
Morning. My take on the Patriots right now is the lack of a running game. I mean, if you can remember before Sony Michel got hurt, they were doing pretty good.
Yep.
We don't have a team that can play from behind. You know, we usually go up a score, a touchdown, play defense, and that's all we do. But we if we have a lack of a running game, that offense doesn't do well, and it's not an offense that can come from behind. It's not. We don't have a defense that can stop anybody, so you got to have a defense to stop somebody in order to come from behind. You know,
yeah. I mean, next week's going to be a little bit of a bitch of a week because what's the excitement with the Jets? You got dead coach in waiting. You got a team that's not very good. You got to go to their building, and you're going to sit there and you're going to dread that game. But you got to get out there and play and put that team away early. You don't want that team thinking they're in a game. Don't give that team any life. They got nothing to lose. Now, all of a sudden, every game, when you play the way you played last week, every game becomes that much more difficult. Because you talk about the mystique. Okay, yeah. Jets coming out. Jesus, here come the Patriots 8-2. Well, they're really 7-3, and they got their you-know-what knocked in the dirt last week. We got some guys on defense. They do have some guys on defense that can play. Their offense is in shambles. But I don't know, man. I mean, you got to get out, and you got to fix it. You got to fix it quick. I'm just surprised they didn't attempt to run the ball. To what else talking about there, more than they did last week. With Michelle up and active, with Teddy Karras in the game and not having your all-pro guard in there, it was more imperative. You had James Devlin, you know, run the ball.
Yeah.
Run it.
If you're going to devote that much attention to trying to get up the middle and get to Tom Brady and you're going to clog the underneath, you know, take it around the end. You know, run it a little bit. You don't even have to necessarily try and do it between the tackles. You can do it in a variety of ways. And I would say the same things, though. With Sony Michel back, it gave you another option that they didn't seem to utilize a whole lot. Okay, Tuukka Rask is on the ice at Bruins practice this morning. We will have audio of Tuukka Rask and of Bruce Cassidy for you coming up shortly. Mark in Medford has some thoughts on the Tuukka Rask rumors. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Hardy. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Okay, so I just want to go on record that I heard this from somebody. So
no,
it's not me spreading these rumors.
Do this
no, wait,
No, it's nothing
careful,
bad.
Please.
It's
be
nothing
careful.
Bad. It's nothing bad. Just chill out, okay? Yes, a friend of mine who's an avid sports listener and watcher and on Twitter 24/7 saw on a local Philadelphia Twitter account that Philly had contacted the Bruins for a straight-up trade. Tuukka Rask for Wayne Simmonds, and also saw on another account, which he doesn't remember the name of either one, actually, that Tuukka was thinking about maybe packing it up and trying to find a way to collect his money that's still owed to him. Now, like I said, just rumors, but something to talk about.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call.
I think that would be a good outcome.
I don't think the way it went down, with the way it was announced, that he was taking a few days. He asked for a personal leave. He was granted that time.
Go check out Philly. Go look for some apartments. You don't think that was
I don't think it goes down like that.
Or maybe go call your bank, see where should we send the money to if you want to just leave. You sure it's not those two?
And I think it was personal in nature, but you know, if it generally is a family thing and they want to get some heat off the guy and if they want to take care of him, they'll say it's family related. And what does that generally mean to you? It means like parents, kids, health, family, something, right? Something out of your control that everybody, I understand. Yep, family comes first. You got to go take care of that. I think it was something else. I think it was personal. I don't think it had anything to do with a trade. I don't think it had anything to do with necessarily the health of a family member. I think it was something very personal. And I would not be surprised if we never found out what it was. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Handled well.
Thank you. Let's go to the headlines here. We got McCone back in Dorchester taking care of headlines, I believe,
Chuck
this
McCone.
Morning. We think. We'll find out here momentarily.
Put in a prompter. He'll read it.
And then we'll continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins are off tonight. They are on the practice ice right now, though, and so is goalie Tuukka Rask. Remember, the Bruins announced Friday Rask would be taking a leave of absence for personal reasons. Boston going to be on the road tomorrow, taking on the Avalanche. That game gets underway at 10 p.m. Celtics coming off two straight losses, also off today. They'll be back at the Garden tomorrow night when they welcome in the Chicago Bulls. In the NFL, Patriots in their bye week. They are not scheduled to practice today. Players will be speaking to the media after meetings, though, around 5 o'clock. Giants beat the 49ers last night 27-23. Odell Beckham Jr., 4 catches, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell has until 4 p.m. today to sign his franchise tender if he is going to play this season. Former Browns head coach Hugh Jackson has joined the Bengals coaching staff as a special assistant to the head coach. Bills have released quarterback Nathan Peterman, and Major League Baseball Manager of the Year awards will be revealed tonight at 6 o'clock. Alex Cora is a finalist in the AL. Sports Headlines brought to you by Wendy's with 8 different entree options. The Wendy's 4 for $4 comes in clutch. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy filling in for Beetle. I know that's got me thinking, huh?
Got you thinking what?
Pine needles over mulch.
Yeah.
All right, Jim just threw us off right before we went to say, Jim, you should know better than that.
Jim said there's a receiver for the University of Tennessee. It's got a $1 million business, landscaping business, that there's this new wave that's sweeping the South to where they use crushed pine needles, pine straw.
Is pine straw the same thing as pine needles?
Pine straw lasts longer than mulch, naturally acidic, which serves as a weed barrier.
It's definitely acidic. That's why you got to put the lime down. Yeah.
Pine straw or pine needles. Hold on. Maybe we should do this on our own time. But, I mean, this would be the time to be collecting all the pine needles or pine straw from around the, you know, your homes if you're going to use it for mulch next
Called my
season.
Guy yesterday. He's doing yard cleanup this weekend.
Okay.
Get it all out.
Let's
get it out for that snow hits.
Let's go back to the phones here, and we'll see if Cam pulls up this time without the crazy hold music as we talk about the Patriots. Billy Jaffe going to be joining us here at 10:50. Cam in Taunton, what do you got for us?
Sorry about that earlier, guys. I just want to say this. I mean, it's just time to face reality with this Patriots team. They don't have the horses this year. I mean, they just don't. They're just not talented. Do you think they're going to go into Kansas City or Pittsburgh in the playoffs and win? They're going to go into Pittsburgh in a month. And right now, I like Pittsburgh by 2 touchdowns, okay, given how they're playing in that
so
stadium.
So say they're on the table and they lose in Pittsburgh. They end up 12-4.
Okay. They're going to be playing wild card weekend.
What if you're not? What if Pittsburgh gets beat? Pittsburgh's got a tie that nobody's talking about. That tie to Cleveland, which might kill them.
Yep.
That half a win, that kissing your sister game against Cleveland to open the year, that might screw Pittsburgh up royally. By the way, say you got to play Tennessee at home, wild card weekend. I'll take that. I'll roll that at home. What if the Chargers have to go to KC, pop them divisional round? What if Pittsburgh? Well, it depends on the matchup, man. They might have to go out there. It's all about the 3 or the 4 seed. It really is. Kansas City obviously has a big lead on you. They got 2 games. 2 games with 6 left is tough to make up unless somebody implodes. But they got to play the Rams Monday night in a bad field in Mexico City. They're already talking about moving that game to L.A. You know they're meeting in Mexico City today because of the field conditions? The stupidity of this league forcing teams to play at that dog crap stadium. Mexico City was a freaking disaster last year.
Well, it's the game of the year.
Game of the year
on Monday night in Mexico.
And you're sticking it in some elevation where security sucks. You got tanks taking the trucks in and out. I gave you the damn videos of us coming in and out of that stadium last year. We're surrounded by tanks, Hummers everywhere. Machine guns. It's crazy.
Was it safe to go out in the streets?
We went out once, and then probably should have went out another night. So, I mean, there's a lot of bad things that happen in Mexico. You don't need that. You don't need those temptations for this league. It's crazy.
No, I agree.
It should be a track meet, and the grass is going to be all torn up, and it's going to be a terrible
game. Well, they're deciding. It may end up being played in L.A., so it'd be a Rams home game. That's who the home team is. So.
But to Cam's point about
wouldn't that be great for you though?
Having to play the Steelers, you said, or you're playing Kansas City. The Kansas City matchup postseason interests me because the general theory, the general thinking has always been, well, Bill Belichick isn't going to lose to the same team twice in a year, right? So I'm not saying it's a total script flip, but do you think that this Patriots team right now is the type of team that can play against Kansas City and automatically win two times? Or is it flipped a little bit to the where you could say between Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and the weapons that they have there, you can say Kansas City isn't going to lose to the Patriots twice in 1 year?
You got Justin Houston back. You got their best rush guy back.
I mean, isn't that a legitimate concern?
Yeah, it's like a concern.
They already saw them, and they played you tight at Gillette Stadium.
See, it's almost like you're going to start – it's going to be interesting to see, okay, if this thing lines up at the end of the year, is there going to be the potential where the Patriots may give a game up to say, here's what we want to do.
Right.
We want to play this team or maybe not play. Remember when Matt Castle threw that ball in a crowd because you wanted Jacksonville? Jacksonville was like a 12-4 team under Jack Del Rio and Byron Leftwich. Yeah, you got them, and then you kicked their ass. So it's all going to be about based on who's where, who's the one, who's the two. Maybe you want to avoid Kansas City. Maybe you want Kansas City. I don't know. It depends how they're playing and what injuries they have. There's a lot of football left to be played. It really is. A lot of things can take care of itself. And we've been in a spot too many years where here you are again, you're 7-3 or you're 8-2 or right in that area. You remember Brady get massaged last year when they're getting their ass kicked? Yeah, we get there. And then 5-2. Atlanta's a big game. Yeah. And then we got the Jets, then Buffalo, Mexico City. You know, we got the Raiders. Okay, we get to 6-2, 7. And that's kind of where it started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going to Mexico City last year was where the run started. We went to Denver, won in Denver. Team stayed out in Denver.
For a whole week.
Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay at the Air Force Academy.
Or Fort Collins or something.
The Rams are there now.
Yeah.
So you're trying to play in an altitude, get ready for an altitude game. That helped you. You went down to Mexico City, and you traveled well. This team traveled well last year. You go out to Denver, you win. You stay out there for a week. Then you go to Mexico City, you win. Then you come back, and then everything's lined up for you.
That's a big game against Atlanta. And we'll pull it out. 5-2.
But see, he doesn't look ahead and count games.
Speaking of Tom Brady.
Never. Game to game, man.
Are we going to do this at 11 o'clock, Jim? Okay. Tom Brady on Monday Night Football last night.
How
his,
was it?
His conversation with Jim Gray.
Did you watch Monday Night Football?
I did not. It ended up being a better game than, I saw some highlights. It ended up being a better game than I thought it was going to be. But, I mean, what's at stake between two teams that combined for a 3-14 record going into that?
Get a weird text from Bledsoe last night. Says, we're hearing on this Mullen kid. He looked pretty good last week, you know? Because they kind of like him, meaning San Francisco. Heard other rumblings like this team may be peeking at him too. And don't forget, hey, we gave you Garoppolo. If we want to upgrade next year, the backup or something, maybe this kid could get in here and come here and be a backup at some point. Hear those rumblings that, you know, everybody's watching this kid Mullen now after one game. And what can this kid do?
Yeah. I think the Patriots have to be a little more concerned.
He looks like Garoppolo. The quick release. He looks like him physically.
Can he stay on the field?
I didn't know who he was till last week.
Right. I don't either. And I can't sit here and tell you that I knew him. I couldn't even tell you where he played in school. But you watch him, Jim, I'm like, you could hide the number. He's got the same feet. He's got the same compact. You know, quick look here. Look here. Look left. He got in trouble last night. He was looking right. Tried to come back to the left late. Threw a bad pick down his own red zone.
45 minutes in. Zoe's a big news guy this today. He's got the inside info on Tuca. He's not reporting it. And Patriots want Mullins as backup quarterback.
You know, I like talking to people. That's all.
All right, listen, we're going to get
always to, looking to make the team better, Jim.
We're going to get to what Tom Brady said.
Jim's always looking to make our show better. Right?
Constantly.
Keep looking for that UFO crap.
With Jim Gray last night, we got a lot of Gronkowski stuff to get to. And Billy Jaffe will join us to talk about the Bruins. Tuukka Rask back on the ice with the Bruins practice this morning. We'll hear from him and from Coach Bruce Cassidy. Yep. All come on up here in Zolak and Bertrand.
And Stan Lee died.
I'm calm, cool, collective until I have to bring my emotions out.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe and Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
The Boston Bruins are going to pick up back-to-back wins for the first time since late October. And they're going to close out a four-game homestand, taking 6 of a possible 8 points as the horn sounds here at TD Garden. The power play. play ices things here in the third. Yaroslav Halak brilliant again. And the Boston Bruins record a 4-1 victory over the Vegas Golden Knights.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Frabeetle joining us now from Warrior Ice Arena. Ow. Billy Jaffe, who I believe is looking at Tuukka Rask on the ice right now. Billy, is that who you see out there?
At this moment, I see, I see Patrice Bergeron at this moment, but I'm now back in an office, Hardy. I just saw Tuukka Rask. I did.
Thank you.
He is out there. A lot of guys. Bakanainen is out there too, but he's in a red sweater. Non-contact, but that's still a good sign. JFK, no conspiracy theory here. He's back in. He's back up with the Bruins, as is Jeremy Lauzon and Jake Zboril. Don't you like that, Zoff? Or are you?
Lauzon. Yeah.
Lauzon, yes. Don't try that at home, folks. And Zboril's up, too. They're going to take Zboril. Remember, he was one of the first-round picks along with Jake DeBrusk. And Sinishin back in 15, they're taking him on the road trip, going out west. It's just the way the Bruins are going through D-men right now, and you're too far away if something happens. You need to bring somebody extra. So that's what they're doing.
You did a really good job right there. That smokescreen of all that information. What's going on with the goalie, Tuukka Rask? What are you hearing?
Well, he's made a few saves and he's let a few in so far. I'm not hearing it. I'm not into the rumor BS, and I don't.
You have heard something though?
What's that?
You have heard something though?
I've only heard what people contact me to reach out. Hey, I'm hearing this. And I usually don't respond to them.
Yeah.
Or I say, oh, great. Okay. You know, meaning like, sure, fine. Listen, yeah, I'm going to take somebody at face value. They need some days off, 4 or 5 days. Something's going on. Fine. I heard Hardy talking about it too, a few minutes ago. I mean, who knows? Who knows what it is? And does it matter when it's all said and done? Some people might say yes because it could impact the team, and some say no because if it's a personal thing, deal with it. We all have issues and deal with it and move on. Hopefully,
yeah. I mean, just based on how spot on you have to be from an attention to detail standpoint and focus, it would scare me that I don't know that you had to. I don't know what the issue is, but you had to move away there. There are certain guys I play with, and I think I would say that 98% of them, if there's something going on, they'd rather get to work and get in their little zone and sort of keep their mind off it. It scares me a little that he brought all this to work with him. That's all. You know what I mean?
Well, the two ways of looking at it. Yes, that's a valid hypothetical or valid concern, though. On the other hand, maybe it was that significant that he had to, that it was just too much. And there are significant things that go on in people's lives.
Absolutely.
That you just, you know, sometimes you just don't want to talk about and you try and compartmentalize and you just can't. It's not that common. I know what you're saying. The refuge of going to the locker room, which is this haven, which is this wonderful place that everybody, every pro athlete, every college athlete will tell you when they're done playing, the thing they miss most is sitting in the room or in an area when it's just the team and there's this comfortability, this comfort factor that it's this safe haven. But if it's so extreme and you can't even get that refuge there, then you got to take a little time away.
Okay. That makes as much sense as anything. But what happened while he was gone and what's been happening this year, Billy, is that you've got Yara Halak in there proving that, you know what? Does this even have to be that much of a conversation? Oh, Tuukka Rask is gone. That's interesting. I'm going to allow two goals against two pretty good teams here and back-to-back nights and not even make a peep about it. In fact, he said, yeah, I was fine. He said he got a good sleep on Saturday night after the Maple Leafs game, and he was ready to go on Sunday, and damned if he wasn't. Is it that he's that good? Is the team playing better in front of Halak? A combination of stuff? What's going on?
Well, first of all, he's in a great zone. He's in a comfort zone. You want to talk about feeling like he belonged from day one. Yeah. He had a couple options to sign contracts. Obviously, his relationship with Chara, I think, helped. It wasn't a factor for him coming here. The team was. He played for a pretty crappy defensive team last year in the New York Islanders, and he was ready to come to a much better defensive-minded team. And while the Bruins aren't perfect, you look at their goals against, and they're pretty darn good. They're in the top five all year this year. They're above that right now, and they're in the top three. Halak will look forward to that challenge. I think he really looked forward coming back to a big hockey market, guys. Okay. Big hockey, you know, an awful lot. And he's on. There's no question he is on right now. I think he also, at his age, knowing he's got a couple of years going right now, just a two-year deal, wanted to show it. And this right now, and this is not hyperbole, it has to be considered, if you look around the league, one of the best free agent acquisitions of any GM in the game this offseason, this signing of Yaro Halak.
Yeah, perfect time for this team to get it up and start ramping some things up here prior to Thanksgiving as we approach Thanksgiving. That's the normal look-in, check-in point as to, okay, what are you going to be? Are you a contender this year or not? But what's it say for the veterans? You know, it was Cassidy talking to Bergeron and Chara last week, you know, prior to Tuca's departure. And I don't want to bring Tuca back up, but let's keep it to the team. They went out and they played, you know, and they played well just to keep the train rolling. That helps eliminate distractions. It really does.
How about Saturday night? I mean, after getting your backsides, it wasn't even your butts kicked. It just wasn't a good feel after that Vancouver game. It's not that you lost. It was how you lost. I completely, and I've said this on the air a couple of times, as soon as Bergeron made it 2-1 in that game on Thursday night against Vancouver, I think they all thought it was going to be easy. I really do. And the mindset just unraveled from there. And they lose this crazy 8-5 game that you're like, come on, guys. One thing to lose a game, but don't lose that way. And it's not that Vancouver's not a good team, but they're not a great team. But then the veterans step up and turn it around. Bergeron obviously was a monster. Chara has been great. He has been great. You know, people last year at this time were talking about, well, you know, he's getting old. He's older, obviously, a year more, and people haven't really talked much at all about that. He's actually, I think, playing with a guy, you know, like Grizzlick. Carlo's forcing him. And Carlo, by the way, Carlo is not on the ice. His upper body injury is still keeping him out, it looks like. Huh. You know, but he's gotten his feet moving more. The veterans came through in flying colors. Krejci's been really good the last couple of games. And that's huge because any sport, any athlete, Zoe, I know you can attest to it, when your team's in a little bit of this, by no means do they think turmoil, but when they're in this really uncomfortable spot of what's going on right now, what just happened, what did we do, and the veterans step up like that, it brings a real kind of security blanket to it.
You mentioned Saturday night, and I'm moving around that city of Nashville. I don't know if you know, the Patriots went down and got their ass kicked, but
I heard about that.
There's Predator stuff everywhere. Like, that is a sneaky, sneaky, big, good hockey town now.
It's a great hockey town.
I mean, how much does that affect, like, you know, potential free agents, Billy, that city's humming now. That is that's a hotbed for not only to live there, but just, you know, the action, the food, the awareness of the hockey fan now there. That's pretty impressive considering where this thing was maybe, you know, not even on the radar, 10 years ago?
Right. It was a different mentality. Players always talked about Nashville as being a fun place to live because of the quality of life, the weather, the ability to play golf, probably 12 months, but for sure nine good months, maybe 10 good months a year. There's a lot of good things that have happened down there. You mentioned the culture, the food, et cetera. What they're getting now is they're getting winning hockey, and the fans down there, because there are a lot of transplants from all over the country, but in particular the Northeast, they love their hockey down there. They built a great team. You know, what does it do for potential free agents, though? It becomes another viable option. There's no question about it. But you can still talk to a lot of guys. And when markets like a Boston come calling, or a Chicago, even though Chicago's down right now this year, when a big market like that comes calling, a lot of the big-time players want that. They don't want to shirk away from it. You know, Halak, using him as an example again. He's played in Montreal before. He enjoyed that there. He's been in some other markets, too. He's happy to be in a hockey market. And a lot of guys do relish that as well. It can be tough at times. But being in a big market's great. But, hey, Nashville, it's always been one of my favorite stops on the tour. It's just a phenomenal town. And hopefully you have a day off or two down. Maybe not 2 days. 2 days is too many. But if you have one day off down there, you can burn it off in practice the next day, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Billy, just real quick, they got the Avalanche on Wednesday night.
Yep.
I have hated that team now for 20 years at least. But I don't even know that much about them this season. Are they still worthy of my hatred?
Well, if they beat the Bruins, they are. Yeah, no, they've got an amazing top line. You know, Nathan McKinnon is one of the top players in the league, Hardy. They're not the same, you know, Colorado Avalanche with Claude Lemieux. There's more French for you, Zo.
He's not there anymore.
He's probably still running around in some beer league somewhere, hitting somebody from behind. But no, he's not there anymore. So it's a different feel. Patrick Waugh, obviously, but they're a good team. It's a hard place to play, Hardy. You know, the Mile High, getting in there. But this is going to be fun watching Rantanen, who's a huge, he's a beast up front, winger leading the league, and they're right up there with Bergeron and points. Yep. McKinnon and Gabe Landeskog, another top line in the league.
Okay. Billy Jeffy, appreciate the time. Thank you very much. And we'll be talking to you soon, buddy.
And I would love next time to talk pine needles, pine cones, because it is that time of year, and then early in spring we need to talk about that.
When
okay?
you put your tree up? What are you putting your holiday tree up?
Let's get the menorah up first and then the tree up next. Right. We got to get both
house. You're a tweener, right?
We're both.
You're between, right? Are you both?
We're both, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what I thought. All right.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I won't offend nobody, you know.
December 10th, maybe
when
for the tree.
When does the menorah go up? I mean, is it like Thanksgiving weekend?
What's
like,
the festival of lights start?
When is it this year? Does anybody know when it is? That's the problem. I don't know when it is.
See, that's it changes every year. That's not.
It does change every year. It's very cruel of them to do that to people.
You
like
tell them set
December.
A date.
December 2nd. I just looked it up. December 2nd. So the
it's early this year.
It is very early, yes.
I think.
Very early, yes.
Get your kids a gift every night?
No. Okay. No.
Well, then I don't understand how you do both then, because isn't that the whole point of Hanukkah, is that you have 8 crazy nights?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, or Mimi and Papa, they'll send some gifts. They'll get one little thing. They'll get one for, you know, but it's, trust me, my kids don't go for wanting anything. Trust me. It's disgusting.
All right, I know. Spoiled rotten. Mine, too. Okay, Billy, thanks, buddy.
See you, Bill.
See you, guys.
All right, there we go. Billy Jaffe joining us. You know what we started doing a couple of years ago? Because my mother did it for my sister and I when we were kids. An advent calendar. Do you know what an advent calendar is?
It's a Jewish calendar.
No. No.
I wouldn't got one of those books. Shaughnessy's so right on the Jewish calendar.
It's a different gift on every day of December.
Oh, they pull so you put my mother,
40 years ago probably, made one, needlepoint, which requires you to purchase and then wrap and hang 24 separate little gifts.
That's stupid.
Times two for each kid,
God.
And I started doing it a few years ago. It made my mother so happy that I was still using her calendar, but now I got to do it again.
When you break that stupid-ass elf out.
Oh, I don't want to talk about
that's got to come up soon.
I seriously,
right?
Yeah, I got to find it. Huh. All right,
Thanksgiving night, Friday morning.
No, we do December 1st. We do December 1st.
Thanksgiving boy here. Everything happens in 2 days for him.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
We do December 1st, Jim. Now that you mentioned, and I do think I know where it is because you lose that. We moved over the summer, and you know
our tree goes.
We almost left it.
Starting tonight.
Your tree goes up tonight.
Yeah, it's a process.
That's dumb.
Well.
That's too early.
A lot of effort.
It's about 75 feet tall. That's why.
15.
It's not necessary. You don't need to put a tree up. Now, it's a week and a half before Thanksgiving.
Well, you get to enjoy it. They put all the lights on, and you feel good. You come down, hey.
You put it up next week. You can enjoy it then.
Yeah, it's just everything's busy next week. Nope. Then you got to go to frickin' Meadowlands. It sucks. Next weekend sucks.
Why don't you do it this weekend? You got the bye weekend.
I won't do anything this weekend.
All right, 90 seconds.
Kids coming home.
McCone's champing at the bit.
What are we doing next? Tom Brady next.
Tom Brady, Jim Gray. Last night on Monday Night Football.
Oh, can't wait.